Welcome to Funny Tinged. I'm Seema.
I'm Naima.
In this episode, we are talking about the pressures of marriage in the South Asian community. Being South Asian, female and Muslim, we've always felt the pressures of marriage through more than one lens. For one thing, being South Asian, there is an immediate timescale of which is acceptable to be married. Being Muslim means we have been guided towards finding companionship and its importance reiterated as being half of our faith. As females growing up in the 90s, we were often reminded through various different stories and tales that the end goal was always to find a Mr. Right for our happily ever after. Combining the three and everything else that life throws at you means that there was always very real and very heavy pressure to find a suitor.
I think historically the women in India or in South Asia were pretty much married by a very young age, and that's all they were ever prepared for.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them weren't even allowed to go to college.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that...
And in Pakistan and in Bangladesh, yeah, and in all other South Asia.
Yeah. I think they've taken that with them.
Brought it here, tried to hold on to culture and kept it the norm.
Yeah.
Were you offered marriage at 12?
Probably from 12 onwards is when the same old thing was repeated. What are you going to do when you get married? You can do that once you're married.
Oh,
that
yeah.
was reiterated throughout
like what,
the entire team.
What was your like, example
oh, you know,
of?
Your house is, your room's a mess. What are you going to do when you get married? Yeah? Or like you can't even make egg. What are you going to do when you get married? Actually, I couldn't make egg until I got married. I was all right in the end.
Just go out for breakfast.
Yeah, or your husband can make breakfast.
Oh, yeah, fully.
So that's pressure, isn't it, then? Mm. Like, there's a constant, like, reminder that
yeah,
that's your
much,
end goal.
Pretty much from, like, high school,
yeah.
isn't it? You kind of know that's the path that you're gonna be taking.
Mm-hmm.
And that you have to be taking.
You can do what you want, but in the end, you're getting married. So.
Oh, my God, really?
Well, for me, even if we were having a really good time at home or whatever, they'd be like, have your fun now, but, you know, don't do this when you get married.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no, actually, it wasn't that. Maybe it was like, oh, you'll remember us when you're at your in-law's house.
Oh, yeah.
You remember how good it was.
Oh, okay.
At home.
Hmm. So you were always going to have in-law's house to go to.
Yeah.
Nice.
Apparently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is like that for a lot of us, isn't it? Pretty much around the time you hit high school, you are made to feel like you're supposed to be having a companion or start to be finding somebody, or let's keep an eye out for yeah. somebody who might be a marital suitor for you.
Yeah, exactly.
Once you are educated yeah. or not even educated.
Yeah, and everything else is secondary.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
if you want a career, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
You're still getting married. I sound like everyone's mum and dad now, getting married.
Yeah. And if you weren't, then it's
yeah so when you got into like your 20s and you'd done what they thought was acceptable for you to do, you've had your fun now, let's talk, let's be serious, and then the serious talk started. You need to get married.
Yeah, no, it is, I guess it is like that, but it's a shame that it's almost like a definite, and if you don't do it, there's something wrong with you.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Idea about it. I think that it's almost like you're ill.
Yeah.
Or
or you get that sympathy. There's a sympathy that comes, or pity
yeah.
that comes with someone not being married. And I know that we talked about at the beginning of the podcast, we mentioned about it being apparent throughout different themes of our lives of South Asians and Muslims. And I think that there's a beauty to companionship, and you know, I don't want to like dishonor what it is that we've been guided to in our religion. However, I also don't ever want it to be something that is the be all and end all
of
for
course.
My daughter.
I mean, she's
children.
Only three.
Yeah, I know, but you know what I mean? Like, I don't want that to be a stress for her.
Yeah, but it isn't a necessity, even religiously. But I mean, of course it is advised.
Do the two get intertwined?
Yeah. And I think it's just, like I said, it's actually maybe even a status thing. Like imagine having a child, being a parent, and then having a child who didn't get married. Like, it's almost like, oh
yeah.
gosh, like her parents or his parents must have done something wrong.
It's
or
the
he's
unknown.
Not right. Or, oh, I wonder what's wrong with him. Yeah, it's like there's
it's
something wrong with him.
Yeah, there's something wrong with that person for them to have not got married. Otherwise, they would obviously be married.
Mm. Do you have friends that aren't married that feel this?
Yeah. I don't like to bring the topic up because it's not relevant.
Yeah, exactly. None of our business, really.
And even if they wanted to talk about it, like, I have had friends who have had gone through that for a very long time, but then have got married. And even them, they have themselves said to me in the past, like, it's more acceptable to have got married and then divorced than it is to have just never been married. And I was like, that's wow. So sad. Like,
yeah, having to have gone through that pressure in the first place.
Yeah. But even we, like, even I had that pressure after I got, like, graduated and stuff.
Of course. And happened to most of our friends and most of the people around us, I guess. Like, I have an auntie who's old and she didn't get married throughout her life. Whenever anyone talks about her, like, she's older now, so she's like in her 70s or something. Whenever anyone talks about her and her life and what she went through, they don't tell me about her. They tell me about how she wasn't, she didn't get married yet. Something not right about her, or almost making it seem like because she didn't get married, there was something not right about her.
This is what I mean. Yeah.
Not to say that she wasn't surrounded by friends and companions and people all her life.
Exactly.
But it was like, it was a sad story that she didn't get married.
And it doesn't need to be sad.
No.
It can just be like nothing. Yeah. It's just, you know, good for you if you got married and good for you if you didn't.
Yeah.
Carry on with what you're doing, you know. And
it just has to be something that you want.
Yes.
If you don't want it, then that's okay.
And even if you do want it and you haven't found it, that's okay too, you know. You can want to be married and still carry on with your life and be hopeful of that. Oh, you know,
not stop your finish your studies. Yeah, and like stop everything.
So we talked about there being like a time scale, and I think that time scale for women is like 30.
Yeah,
you know. But what if, like, you find your partner at 45? What if you find that person then and up until at that point? And if you stopped everything you were doing up until that point and just literally reclused yourself to the confines of like home and work, then what if that person was in another country, or, you know, and you stopped yourself from the traveling that you really wanted to do?
It's a shame, really. Like you said, it's almost like the ticking time bomb. Like, if you're not married by 30, then there's something not right about that person. Shouldn't be the way we're thinking anymore.
It shouldn't be at all. And it shouldn't be what we place value on either. I think, like, it's just something that we should celebrate if it happens.
It's a shame. I think you find that when that happens, it almost takes away from the value of even a relationship and of love. Like, you actually lose what that means, because the most important thing is finding a partner, and a partner that ticks all the cultural boxes, societal
boxes.
What
are they? Like, you know, like having a good job.
Yeah.
Being like financially stable.
Being brown and Indian.
Yeah. And being a star on paper. And then you're right. Like, what does it do to someone if they've constantly been pressured? They're then clouded by that pressure. And
what does it do to that relationship that they might even end up having?
Yeah, like it potentially like sets your expectations up. And also, like, you might give in to marrying someone that you didn't want to marry.
You know, it's really funny. I had a guy, one of my male friends, who actually said to me the other day that he believes that marriage and friendship doesn't intertwine. And he's like in his 50s.
That's sad.
Like, them two are like two different separate things. You can't be best friends with your husband or wife, which I thought was a really odd concept. But for him, it works, and he's happy in his marriage and whatever. Okay. And he's got kids or whatever. Apparently that works for him. Fine. And that's fine if that is what he's comfortable with. But I thought that even the option to be friends for him was like uncomfortable. Like, to,
well, with his wife.
Yeah, I just thought that was a really odd thing. And it just makes me think of, inherently, I can't help but think that it was an old-fashioned value that he's had placed into this companion of, you have a person there, that's what you needed. Agreed. That's what you've got, now keep that, and that's it.
It's 100% that. Sorry, I don't want to, like, assume too smart, but, like, our parents and, you know, the culture back then was, you just marry who you're told to marry, and then you just get on with it.
Yeah, and that, I mean, it starts from, yeah, but that, I just think it starts from the whole pressure of, like, okay, you need to find someone. You can't be alone. In this day and age, you can be alone.
Whilst marriage is one thing, it's never been enough to find a partner and get on with it. South Asians have historically had an issue of marrying within the confines of one's own race or caste. This means that love has been demographically limited. Finding someone who ticks all the boxes and is Asian, is it really viable? Like, do we settle? I'm using the S word, but are we settling here?
Is settle the S word?
Yeah.
It is a valid question. Do we settle? It narrows your scope. You might not find a companion or a partner or a friendship, sorry, for those who don't believe in friendship and marriage. But if you may not find that in your own culture necessarily, no, or in your own race.
Yeah, and I think that, like, historically our community have been reluctant towards interracial marriages. And I'm not... So a lot of my friends, actually, growing up, I had a lot of mixed race friends.
Mm-hmm.
They were always... white and Asian.
Mm.
So I think that was quite kind of accepted, although it's always been problematic, and I don't think it's ever been just accepted straight away. There's always been a lot of push and shove,
mm-hmm.
and then it's like, fine, well, we can't say no because you're going to do it anyway.
Yeah.
But I think, like, aside from white and Asian marriages, like, I think we have a major problem with, like, Asian and Black,
mm-hmm.
or Asian and other, any other ethnicity. Do you know any?
Yes, not personally. I know of one that I spoke to my dad about, and actually that's really interesting because it was a Black Muslim man, mm-hmm. and he was really struggling to find a partner.
Mm.
And I think that he actually had to really, he didn't actually know many people to get in touch with or how to go about, like, finding a partner. So he approached loads of, like, friends that he made in the mosque, mm. and things like that, and then finally did eventually marry an Asian girl.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently it was really hard for him because a lot of Asian people didn't really want
him.
Which so is shocking. Like, I mean, yeah.
But it does happen. It is known to happen, and it reminds me of the situation in Palestine where a friend of mine, he's from East Jerusalem,
mm-hmm.
and... He told me that he's not allowed to marry outside of his own sort of city, so Jerusalem. If he does, if he marries a girl, so from the same country but not in the same city,
yeah.
If he marries someone outside of Jerusalem, he's no longer allowed to reside in his hometown. He has to leave.
Wow.
And it's a way of sort of them cleansing Jerusalem of Palestinians.
Jeez.
Yeah. So it's like dictating love, and we do that in our own community. So we're kind of very similar to, like, this authoritarian regime. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And the dictatorship starts from within our own houses.
Exactly.
Admittedly, it can be easier for you to marry within your own culture. Easy doesn't always mean more comfortable long term, though. Mm. It can be easier because you don't have to adapt so much. But that also limits growth in society. And I think that when we're in this day and age and our parents moved over from India for growth, how are we not trying to grow even within our own culture?
I think it's a safety net for, it was a safety net for our parents that we remain within our culture.
Mm.
Because we were in the unknown, like, for them, this is Britain. Britain's the unknown.
Yeah.
And there were so many things that they didn't want us to get involved in. So it was their safety net. But now, we are British.
Yeah.
Why are we denying our children
that?
It's not a safety net thing anymore.
No.
It's more really of a prejudice thing now.
Especially, like, we were trying to be here in the first place. It just seems really silly. I have a Hindu friend who married a white woman, and his family really, really didn't like the idea of him marrying a white girl.
Mm-hmm.
She wasn't Hindu, but they did a Hindu marriage and all of that. Like, his mum almost put pressure on her to not be married to him, and then there was this whole situation of... she would make her give up lots of things just to be able to be a part of... their culture and to be able to join their family and culture, which I think is really sad. And, like, the fact that there is nothing wrong with being from a different culture, and if, like, that's how we're reacting to people from a different culture or a different race, why did we come here in the first place? So it's just as simple as that, really. Whilst finding suitors within our own communities is difficult enough, there is an added pressure for these partners to be well-established, academically inclined, and ultimately, a star on paper. In setting the precedent for what we will settle for, are we automatically eliminating organic forming relationships? As a result, are we not hindering our own communities by creating a never-ending cycle of keeping up with the Joneses?
So what we're doing is we're telling people you have to get married, mm-hmm. you have to get married in a set period of time, the person has to be of your own race, mm-hmm. and if in your own community, and they also have to have like a million things going for them.
You have to be 21 and a PhD.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We do that. Mm-hmm. It's not enough to just find someone. That person is then like, because a lot of people, like initially when we first got married, would ask me straight away, like, what does your hubby do? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, why does that even matter? At all, I'm married.
Yeah.
But, you know.
I once asked that question because I was trying to make small talk.
Yeah.
To a friend. And she turned around and was like, oh, yeah, he's an ice cream man. Like, and she knew I didn't. I knew that he wasn't. And I actually, as far as I know, I thought ice cream men did really well and made loads of money anyway. So I was like, oh, wow, that's so cool. Like, she was actually lying to me the whole time.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's a good way of dealing with it, you know. Just saying, like, he's an ice cream man. Do you know, to make it really awkward for the other person?
Men are a rarity.
No, just because it's not like a prestigious job to have, you know. But that's what we look for. We look for like prestige and financial stability. Like, but who's to say someone's not going to be successful in 10 years' time and you might have met them 10 years earlier than their success point, you know?
I mean, wasn't Jeff Bezos like in debt at 23?
Yeah, and now he's like a billionaire and she's took half of his money or something. So
has she?
Yeah, they're divorced now.
Oh, okay, I didn't...
Yeah, off topic, but yeah. No, it's true, and we do this in our society a lot. It's just something that comes with part and parcel of keeping up with the Joneses, I guess. Like, we have to have the best cars, we have to have the best jobs, and it all stems from... really from when we were like younger, like even for performing at schools and stuff, like we had to be the best, didn't we?
Yeah, or appear to be the best, which is why the cars have to be pretty. Yeah, I think it is a lot about appearances. I mean, don't get me wrong, if you like a good car, you like a good car, by all means go ahead.
Yeah.
But in terms of marital I think it goes back to the fact that like if you don't have a partner, you don't look good. It doesn't look good. You look like a lonely little soul.
We're living in like a time where you have people that have like three side hustles, mm-hmm. you know, and it's not the same as how it used to be. Like, academics unless you're like becoming a doctor or a pharmacist or something medicinal, like, I don't know, people are kind of steering away from education, maybe more towards just getting that work experience and hustling and making money in other ways.
Yeah.
So that's not appealing to our culture. It's like you have to be established. You have to be from a good family. You have to. What's a good family? By whose measures? Do you know what I mean?
Until they find out all the secrets behind the closed doors. It's brilliant, isn't it? I think that it's narrow enough without having all of the check boxes on top of that.
Yeah.
Having to have a partner who is really well educated, really good looking, in lighter and skin colour, and it's all of those things. It is a lot of pressure, and it, like I said earlier, it almost brings back the fact that you lose the value of what a companion can mean.
Can someone not just be a really nice, funny person?
And you
is
just
that not enough?
Have a really great life because of it. Like, you can't value that. Yeah, it is such
and I get it from a parent's point of view. Like, they want to know that their kids are going to be okay.
The best for their child means the best in everything. Totally understand that. I totally get that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't have kids, but I understand how that can be of value.
Surely, like, have some faith in young kids.
Yeah, of course, you know? Exactly. Yeah, it's just about perspective. There is a million things that might make your kid happy that they may not be able to speak to you about, but keep an open mind.
Mm. Do you get matchmakers in the community, which are great, and they do a really good job, because, you know, they're trying to help people where people want to get married, and that's absolutely fine.
Want. Yeah, it's like their mum and dad doesn't drag them there, they go themselves.
And so, like, these matchmakers will come out with, like, this is the criteria, this is what this person's looking for. Mm-hmm. What you're actually essentially doing is taking two people's CVs and seeing how well they match.
Yeah.
And then, like, really, is that chemistry going to be like that in real life?
Yeah, but, I mean, I guess that's why they meet too, right?
Yeah, I know, but sometimes, because you don't, in our culture anyway, you don't get enough time to really get to know the person. And do you really know a person until you live with them? You don't get to live with them, right? So you're going off the back of, they've got all this going for them.
Yeah.
And so that's a good foundation. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to give this a go now. I'm going to marry this person and it'll be fine.
Right.
It's not, it shouldn't be like that. It should be like, this is a really good person. I get on with this person really well. Mm. We have the same values. And you know what? As a bonus, they've got this, that, and that going on. Or actually, I see potential in this person or whatever, but it's the other way around.
Yeah. In the same breath, I think that practicalities are ridiculously important when it comes to marriage. If it's not practical for you, why, like...
Depends. I've not been in that position where, like, in an arranged marriage.
Yeah.
So I know that some people that are in that position, they do just want that practical.
Yeah.
And they can
be... Have you ever
seen
these social experiments of when they do the... there's a new program on Netflix at the moment called Love is Blind.
Oh.
And I believe it's based on that whole concept of matching up. I haven't watched it myself, but I believe it's based on the concept of them being matched up without seeing each other and then being ready for marriage. And I know they did a social experiment on Channel 4 as well, similar to that.
Blind date. And what's the other one?
Ta-ra.
What's the other one? Paddy McGuinness.
I used to love Cilla Black. She was a legend.
Which is the one with Paddy McGuinness in?
Oh, I don't know.
Let the peanut meet the jam. I don't know. I can't even think of something.
What does the peanut...
Let the peanut what meet the jam.
Peanut butter.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Got it all wrong.
So glad then. I've never watched that program.
I forgot what it's called. Anyway, kind of similar to the concept. You go off what someone's got.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. Like, you don't want to be shallow enough to just base somebody on their appearances or on their job status because they could be fired or whatever. There is an element of chemistry. You know how what I'm like. For those who don't know and are listening, I love science a lot. So when it comes to scientific matches, I still think there is some logic and sense in that. I have a theory. Don't roll your eyes at me.
Please.
I have a theory about intellect. I believe that, like, partners, one of the most really important factors between in a relationship is if you are on a similar intellect level. That's how I measure success within, like, a partnership sometimes.
Okay.
I'm sorry if that offends any of you or if I'm, like, completely off the mark and you're super happy and you're both on two complete different intellect levels. Please let me know, actually. That'd be really interesting because I strongly believe that it's a thing. But again, I just
someone's
think...
Someone's going to ask you to back that up. So just be ready.
Beckett. Oh, I've got back up.
Okay.
I mean, I don't want to have to showcase lots of couples, but if they're willing to come forward, maybe I will.
The pressure of finding marriage seems to have followed us through generations, and although it comes from a loving place, it's never okay to make it the centre of our success. We hope that through sharing our voices, we're able to shift our attitudes towards marriage and make it a celebration rather than an expectation. So we're at the end, guys. Let us know your thoughts.
Yep, for those of you who can relate to what we've talked about, it's important to remember your life can look like whatever you want it to look like. Whether that means being in a relationship or not being in a relationship, it's totally up to you. We don't need to keep the old school mentalities. Whatever is important to you is what is important overall.
Exactly what she said. Thanks, guys. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.